Just the best oldies for the convention on 1610 AM. WNRC.
Hi, DXers. Phil Wayne here for Market Scope. The DX audio services look at radio markets big and small across the universe. This month, we finish up Jonathan Milam's look at North Carolina's FMs.
Here's another station in High Point that was formerly 100.3 The Fox with a classic rock format, but has now gone country.
Hi, y'all. I'm Keith Brooks.
Hi, and I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks
and Dunn.
Hi, this is Mark Chestnut.
Hi, this is Mark Miller with the group Sawyer Brown.
Hi, this is Randy Travis, and you're listening to the station with John Boy and Billy in the morning. And the most country music all day. The new Whistle 100 WHSP.
The new Whistle 100 WHSL, the most country music all night long. I'm Travis Moore. Hey, if there's a song I can play for you tonight or something you feel you need to discuss, well, you pick up the phone and give me a buzz, 800-951-1003 or star 100 on your Alltel cellular. It's a free call. Jody Messina, Lesson in Leaving, Whistle 100.
Somebody's gonna give you a lesson in leaving.
Here's yet another country station in Burlington, about 40 minutes east of Winston-Salem, that has teamed up with another station of similar format.
Kix 96.9 and 101.1. Just the right mix of today's country hits. Today's country hits.
A man made of stone.
And your favorite country classics.
What am I gonna do?
Kix 96.9 and 101.1.
Brooks and Dunn, it's Missing You right here on Kix 96.9 and 101.1. Hang tight for a seven-song Kix fix, including John Conley, also Randy Travis, and the Judds are up next.
My ordinary.
Up next is a hip-hop station with a rather peculiar and interesting way of identification.
WKMH Freesville. Blazing hip-hop and R&B.
Blazing hip-hop and R&B.
Blazing hip-hop and R&B.
Five words. $10,000. 102 Jams.
Escobar season has returned.
Five words, $10,000. Tomorrow night, Friday night, football jams. Carver Dudley, Paige Grimsley. Enough said. It all begins with Kevin Chaos, 7 p.m. Hot new joint from Mos Def, Miss Fat Booty.
Blazing hip-hop and R&B. I like that. That's creative. Now here's the second of the two Delilah affiliates in the area. It's WLYT, an adult contemporary station in the small town of Hickory.
Continuous light favors. Here's Gloria Estefan with Here We Are on Light 102.9.
Charlotte's Light Station. Light 102.9.
Next is a country station in Charlotte, and here's an example of what I call helping our neighbors.
You've heard the stories. You've seen the news. Recent flooding has devastated eastern North Carolina. Now WSOC FM 103.7 and Fox 18 are joining forces to help our neighbors through their long recovery. Please make a donation of non-perishable food items, personal hygiene products, baby supplies, or pet needs. Take your donations to any participating branch of Bank of America. Home Depot is accepting cleaning products and bleach. Make your donation and let our neighbors know they haven't been forgotten. And the Charlotte Observer, thank you for your support from all of us at Fox 18 and WSOC FM 103.7.
October!
Eddie Raven at WSOC FM playing today's country and yesterday's favorites. I'm Brian Hatfield. Congratulations to Elena Schneider of Charlotte, North Carolina. She's picked up on a six-pack of tickets to the Shrine Circus.
Coming next is another country station in Winston-Salem that has recently been nominated for and is now the proud owner of a CMA award.
The 104.1 WTQR Weather Channel forecast brought to you by the Quickton Oil Centers. You can check out the grand opening of the newest Quickton Oil Chain Centers on West Market and Randleman Road in Greensboro. Clear tonight, low 43, then sunny tomorrow at the high of 68. 56 in Greensboro, 57 in Winston-Salem, and 56 in High Point. It's requested Vince Gill for Kathy in Greensboro. You're as high in that mountain.
It's a morning show your whole family can listen to.
Big Paul and Aunt Eloise on 104.1 WTQR.
Oh, yes, indeedy. We are ready to go. You got your paper and your pen or pencil. I'll let it be your choice. And all you do is write down the top 99 as I count them down. When I get to the number one song, be caller number 9. Count those top 9 back for me. You get to travel to the gigantic WTQR Music Vault to pick out the CD or set of your choice to get them right. Plus, I hope you're hungry because we are going to feed you. You're going to get a gift certificate from Pizza Hut for a medium meat-loving pizza. Mm-mm-mm, it's so good.
Number 9.
And a lot of women think this guy is really, really good. I like his teeth. They're real straight. Number 9, it's George Strait. What do you say to that? WTQR.
Here's another classic rocker, WSSS in Charlotte.
Rocktober, where our tricks or treats are simple.
The trick is to listen for the Star 104.7 classic hit of the day.
The treat, $1,000 in cash every day, all week.
It's huge.
More details coming up from Classic Hits, Star 104.7.
Dallas, what's up, man?
Yeah.
How about Lil Nazareth? Now you're messing with a son of a...
Okay, watch it. You know what, that's actually the name of that song by Lazarus, and he actually said the whole name of it on the air, so there you go. What they can get by with nowadays in radio. Next is another country station in Statesville, about 45 miles south of Winston-Salem.
Hometown Country, Country 105.7 WFMX. Dixie Chicks, Tonight the Heartache's on Me, and a great song from George Jones. Tennessee Whiskey, make my knob creak, please. Lila, Crush, Alan Jackson, Don't Rock the Jukebox, Montgomery Gentry, Lonely and Gone, and John Barry, She's Taking a Shine. I'm Rita Kelly. It's 10:20 on a Friday midday. Looking forward to the weekend. Maybe a little wet by Sunday. I'll fill you in on those hometown forecast details shortly.
Country 105.7 WFMX.
Now here's a rock alternative station in Charlotte on 106.5, known as The End.
Best rock station by the readers of Charlotte's Best Magazine. This is WEND, new rock for the new millennium. 106.5.
New rock 106.5, The End. Jeremy spoke in class today. Hi, this is Dennis, and here's Oleander from the CD February Sun. This is called Why I'm Here from New Rock 106.5, The End.
Here's another hot AC station in Greensboro that has just recently expanded their music format. Now they have included R&B.
The number one hit music station, the new 107.5 KZL. Not just one kind of music, all the hits.
Do you believe?
Number one hit music station, the new 107.5 KZL.
And finally, last but not least, another hot AC station. This one in Charlotte, home of Bob and Sherry in the Morning, and check out the contest they're having.
107.9 The Link. Well, you've been hearing us talk about it. The Computer a Day giveaway starts on Monday. Watch your mailbox for more details being sent to you from 107.9 The Link. And by the way, over the weekend, if you listen, you might win yourself a family four-pack of tickets to the Renaissance Festival. Go out there and have a ball.
Bob and Sherry.
I could definitely use a new computer, couldn't you? Hey, it's free. Well, that puts the wraps on this Market Scope Bandscan. I'm Jonathan Milam, 73s and good DX.
That's it for this month. Next month, the Q was for quality. If you'd like to submit a scope of your market, just like Jonathan Milam did, contact me, Phil Wayne, at 1872 Myers Road East, Marion, Ohio, 43302-9160. See you at the convention.
Hi, I'm Patty Pratt from the ABC Radio Network's Stardust format, welcoming the membership of the National Radio Club and DX Audio Service to this year's convention. Thanks for supporting radio, and enjoy your convention this year.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
Hi,
To answer your question, WACC is in Hialeah, Miami. It's 8:30 on the dial, and it's Radio Peace. It's a Spanish Catholic radio station. Also, in the latest news, 93.1 WTMI has been sold to Cox Broadcasting, and they are a classical station. And at the moment, they stay classical, but nobody knows yet what's happening with that. I will keep you posted. This is Mike Lance in Miami Beach. See you all at the convention. Looking forward to it.
Well, there's a new X-band station on 1700 right here in Huntsville, Alabama. The call is WEUP. Their slogan is We Up. And they're simulcasting at the moment with their old frequency of 1600. Their format is black. I discovered them for the first time on July 29th. Not sure exactly when they came on or how long they'll simulcast. When the allocations for the X-band first came out, Huntsville was listed for 1700, but nothing happened, so I kind of thought, well, this is not really going to happen. But as of the end of July, it did. So perhaps one of the rarer occasions to DX Alabama and to hear another X-band station, WEUP, We Up in Huntsville.
Hello, this is Mike Blank in Greenville, North Carolina. I have three things. First, I was very surprised that WHP was only 5,000 watts because that got in the daytime. Number two, the two stations after that, one sounded like it was WLES, and was it Warrensville or Lawrenceville? They didn't say the name of the state, so, and this one after, they didn't say the name of the state either, and I didn't recognize either town, so can you please say what state it was in? And number three, if for some reason all the stations, this couldn't happen, but if all the stations in the Western Hemisphere were off the air, could someone with a Super 3 or 2 or CC radio get European stations? Would they carry that far with that kind of radio?
Hi, members. This is Jim Prather in Detroit, Michigan, and I'm grateful to be added to the group. I have a lot of friends here in the Detroit and Michigan area that are part of you. Since I'm new and since I just got my first issue, I will not be able to get down to Lima, Ohio this time, but hopefully there'll be other chances to meet at a convention or even privately. I know some of you, judging from the first musings that I've heard. And again, it's great being on here. See you later.
Hello, this is Bob Nisley, WD8PIC, 419-882-6236. I would like to know if anybody has recorded, I did, but with fading and lightning static and whatever, if anybody has recorded the transition from WMAQ to WSCR, they did the most wonderful histories of the station. If anybody recorded that, please call me at that phone number. You can also get my address by getting on the computer and looking up Whiskey Delta 8 Papa India Charlie on the FCC's database. I will not be able to make the convention. I hope everybody has a wonderful time. God bless. And 7-3.
And that's our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And I should point out that that's the telephone edition of the musings to the members because we have a printed version in DX News Magazine, the magazine of the National Radio Club in print. And we also have posts going back and forth on the internet in our email list. And that's why I'm jumping in here right now, because there was a very interesting post by Kevin Redding and followed up by Mike Oswald that I'd like to read to you. And if you'd like to be a part of our email list, it's very easy. All you have to do is have internet email capability. And if you have a web browser, point it to www.nrcdxas.org/policy. And read the rules on our lists, and then you can subscribe to one of the lists, which include AM radio, FM and TV, the DX tip list, our DX change list, and many more. That's available on the internet 24/7. This message originally started with Kevin Redding on August the 18th and was then replied to by Mike Oswald on the 19th. Very interesting material, and I'd like to read it for you right now. Starts out, AM radio, once the dominant broadcast medium in the world, AM radio's popularity has shrunk to its lowest level in history.
Many people, in fact, barely know that the AM band exists. Fewer still have even heard stations broadcasting on AM that sound good. I'm not talking about programming here, although the lack of popularity for AM stations on the part of the public certainly has much to do with lousy programming decisions by station owners and management. No, I'm talking about the technical aspects of AM broadcasting, which do, in fact, allow relatively high-fidelity broadcasting, close to FM, in fact, and potentially better than FM prior to an agreement with a radio trade group and the Federal Communications Commission that limited the frequency response of AM stations to 10 kHz from its earlier authorized 20 kHz compared to FM's 15 kHz. Simply put, it's not the broadcasters that sound bad. It's the receivers that make the broadcasters sound bad. Most radios have a bandwidth that limits the upper edge of the sound spectrum to 3 kHz, far from the potential and just barely better than a telephone. Broadcast technician Scott Todd wants to change things and has submitted a petition to the Federal Communications Commission to get the lawmakers to help AM before it's too late. His petition, signed by 27 broadcasters, electronic professionals, and interested listeners, includes the following proposed AM improvements. Number 1. Radios that provide FM stereo reception must provide AM stereo reception. Number 2. Audio frequency response of the AM section of any radio must be reasonably matched to the response of the broadcast standard set by the Federal Communications Commission. Number 3. Labeling of radios must be clear. In other words, AM/FM stereo would be acceptable only if the radio did feature AM stereo. Todd says that the ideas in his petition are not unprecedented. In a guest commentary featured in a recent edition of Radio World magazine, he points out that the Federal Communications Commission mandated similar improvements to facilitate UHF reception in television sets back in the 1960s, and that minimum technical standards for television and FM receivers have been in place for years. That was Kevin's post, and then Mike replied a day later, "Kevin, I have to agree with you and many others who have commented. I think AM radio can be resurrected. It's not really dead in Houston. Life support, probably. There are many different ethnic groups in Houston, and this gives them a radio voice for their programs. There are 3 Asian stations, KENR 1070, KGOL 1180, KREH 900, and soon to be on the air, KCHN 1050. There are also Turkish, Pakistani, Indian, etc., that all share time on AM radio stations. They move around, so I'm not sure of all the stations. I believe KENR at times, KILE in the evenings and nights, possibly KYND, KTEK 1110 at times, and probably some that I just don't know about. Numerous stations serving the Hispanic community. There are more Spanish religious stations than English religious stations. KILE 1560, KNUZ 1080, KLVL 1480, KRTX 980, KHCB 1400, which is multinational religion, KFCC 1270, and KYND 1520. There are other Spanish stations on AM, KEYH 850, Ranchero Music, KYST 920 News, Talk, and Sports, KLAT 1010 with News, Talk, and Sports, KXYZ 1320, Talk and News, and many suburban stations, and they have Spanish programs on at various times. A good thing has been the switch to News, Talk, and Sports over the last couple of years on Spanish radio. Before that, Spanish-speaking people had to rely on English-language stations or wait until night and listen to stations from Mexico. There are some successful AM stations in Houston. KTRH 740 News, Talk, and Sports is usually in or near the top 10. KPRC 950 Talk. KILT 610 with its All Sports. KCOH 1430 Full Service Urban and Urban Oldies. and if KSEV 700 had a significantly better nighttime signal over Metro Houston, they would probably be a big-time player with their talk format. Many of these stations would not be huge rating successes, no matter what. They can only be so many top 10 or top 20 stations in a 60-plus station market. Technical standards need to be improved for receivers and for stations. Many AM stations here put out a crappy signal and an even worse sound. AM stereo should be mandatory for all receivers. Mandatory stereo for these stations I will address with the stereo band scan I did last evening and early this morning. Another item should be no simulcasting, like what the FCC did in the late 60s or early 70s for FM stations. It might get rid of stations just using a frequency and causing QRM. QRM is a major problem, particularly for stations still using the same patterns they had 50-plus years ago in a city like Houston and most other large-spread cities. There isn't a single AM station that can cover all of Metro Houston at night, and that includes KTRH at 740 and their 50-kilowatt signal. Horrendous pattern accounts for much of that. Actually, many stations can't even cover all of Metro Houston during the daytime. I haven't had time to read much on the 50-kilowatt stations on regional channels thread, but the only hope for Houston and suburban stations is to move their transmitters to north of Houston, around the Conroe, Woodlands, Texas area, and send a 50-kilowatt signal to cover all of Metro Houston to the south. The stations could also cover the incredibly fast-growing Montgomery area with probably a 1-kilowatt signal to the north. It would be possible to cover this area and send a signal over the Gulf and Cuba, who doesn't recognize any prior frequency agreements anyways. Maybe this would help the problem of TVI, computers, and all the other devices that mess up the AM signals. I wouldn't hold much hope for digital AM radio for many years, if at all. Perhaps a new band for digital radio and abandon the traditional AM band for good. I know I've written this before, but QRM from Mexico and Latin America cover almost every frequency in Houston. They don't even try to protect the U.S. stations. WLAC in Nashville is a very strong station in Houston at night, stronger than WSM. But it's in a dogfight with a Spanish station of near equal strength many nights. KLIF, WBAP, KRLD, KVOO, WOAI, etc., 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 all have powerful signals, but are in a nightly battle with the south of the border stations. Earlier last night, WOAI was buried with the other signals to the point of being almost inaudible. Cuba nearly kills KLIF on a regular basis. In the last couple of years, WBAP sounds more like a regional station, not a clear channel station. The Federal Communications Commission needs to clean up the band, and the X-band sure hasn't helped. Bob Foxworth, I think that I've heard every word you can think of on local radio, and it seems that no one gives a Chicago hope. Before you know it, Radio Disney at 1590, you'll have Mickey Mouse calling Minnie a... or even worse. Well, that's my 10,000 words or so. 73, signed Mike Oswald. And that's just one of the messages which was on our email list on the internet. What do you have to say? Do you have any comments on either person's writings or their thoughts? Give us a call on the Action Line. Doc, what's the number?
Give us your thoughts about what's happening in your area. Call the Musings line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. Keep your ears open, and when you hear something that's important for everyone to know, call us.
Thanks, Doc. And before we conclude this edition of the DX Audio Service, let's listen to some fond memories of 670 WMAQ. See you at the convention.
Is a unique approach. Before, as you mentioned, when we first started with the Westinghouse format, it was very structured. Timing was very important. You had to get everything on at just the right time. There was no fooling around with the clock. Very little personality was encouraged. They just wanted you to sit there basically and read the news, tell people what was going on, get to your traffic and weather on the ones, as I said. This approach, though, which was instituted by our the former regime under Lorna Gladstone when she was here, I think has a tremendous potential. I've worked this shift when filling in for you and for Kathy and John and Jan in the afternoon, and it's been a very rewarding experience being able to sit behind the microphone and not just read, but be able to converse with your partner and exchange ideas and thoughts and maybe say some silly things once in a while and things that you wish you hadn't said, perhaps, on occasion. I'm sure you've experienced that
all the time.
So I've enjoyed the evolving of this radio station. Every day I've worked here has been at least a little bit enjoyable. Some days have been better than others, but that's the way it is in any job, I suppose.
You know, it's been interesting watching this new organic news format evolve, and it's, I think, gotten better and better and better by the day. I've enjoyed working very much with Chris Roebling, our editor, Terry Bauer. And it's a shame that we can't continue this collaboration. And it's a shame that this news format, this new sort of contemporary news format, news talk hybrid, isn't finding a home anywhere else and doesn't have someplace else to continue here in the city of Chicago. I hope that some other radio company takes up this cause and puts another station like this on the air, because I think under the right circumstances it could work very well.
Well, and as long as we're on this subject, I didn't know we would get into this, but, you know, here are my favorite couple of points to make about this. Number one is, if you're out there driving in your car, scratching your head, why is this radio station going away? There are a couple of things we really want to say. Number one is, we never lost money over here. We were making money for the company.
$23 million last year.
$23 million of billings and over $2 million of profit. And the other thing is, if you're a listener, you were part of a very stable and indeed in some respects growing audience for this kind of broadcasting. We didn't have a ratings problem. In fact, ironically, we've got about twice the ratings of the station that's going to take over this frequency tomorrow. But it has to do with finances, and there are a lot of other considerations that get into it. But I agree with you, Kathy, and I agree with you, Bob. You know, I think that it's been very interesting to watch the evolution of this. I think it is a fresh approach to all news. I think it relies a lot on experienced people like yourself, Bob, and people who have so much knowledge of the market like you, Kathy, and it's been enjoyable to be here. And I've appreciated the opportunity. And I think it's important for everyone to know that in our own way, we were very successful. But, you know, our big company that owns us got into a thing with the government. The government said, you got to sell one. And you know, all these dominoes start falling. And you end up with the ending of a 78-year-old radio station.
And it's also very expensive to run this kind of radio station. It's not as expensive to run all sports, and this is the age of the bottom line. You keep that in mind. And also, from a competition standpoint, they didn't necessarily want two all-news stations in the company cutting into each other's audience. So you combine all that, and you get the saying goodbye, like we're doing today, to this very historic radio station. I wanted to pick up on something really quickly that Bob Conway said. He spoke of WBBM's professionalism and its performance and its product. Well, Bob, you're just the epitome of professionalism, and I'm a big admirer of yours, so I'm glad to see BBM picked up on that.
You're very kind to say that, and words like that mean something. No kidding. They really do.
Well, it's really been a pleasure working with you over the years, and you'll be back doing another newscast throughout the day, and I'm sure you'll be back visiting with maybe, you know, some of the other people here.
You know, there's a lot of talented people, not just the three of us sitting here in this studio.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Because my hats are off to you two for the talent and integrity and the dedication and the hard work that you bring to your jobs. That has got to mean something when, no matter how bottom line the radio business has become, and no matter how profit-oriented and profit-driven it is, it still takes people, talented people, people with a commitment to get the job done. And that cannot be overemphasized. It cannot be overlooked. It's got to mean something.
You know, I wanted to mention one such listener. We had that tremendous thing from Mike Krauser. If you didn't hear it, it's 10 minutes of listener reaction that came in over our listener comment line, and Mike took the time to... Wait a minute.
He's here.
Are you here? You want to talk? Here, come on. Chat.
He's extremely busy.
He's looking for something.
All these news crews are in here today talking to him. Sit down.
You did that incredible compilation of all of the reaction that came in from the listeners.
The people were so emotional, and it really showed you the connection they have to you guys, this personal connection that I think we forget about sometimes when we sit in here and read stories and go about this job. And, boy, just It's astonishing the things they said.
It sure is, and it's very heartwarming. It's been a difficult few weeks. It's especially a difficult day, and just hearing that really makes you feel good, like you actually did have an impact on some people's lives.
And that was such a small sampling. I had a tape that was about an hour long, and that was not all the calls.
Wow.
And these things went over and over and over again. They were saying the same things, how much they're going to miss us, how much part of their lives we have become. How we've helped them grow and learn and laugh and all kinds of things. And it's, oh, boy.
Something that will always distinguish radio from any, I don't care if it's the internet or television or anything else, it is the intimacy between the radio program and the listener. When you are sitting at home and you're listening to a radio station, it is one person at a time. And that is something that will just, it can never be defeated. And yeah. I think it's at the core of the vitality of radio. And I think it's something that distinguishes us from everybody else. And frankly, I love it.
I love it too.
I'm an addict. I love listening and I love chatting.
Which is one reason why I've been buffeted about all over the radio dial and I keep going back for more punishment. I mean, I started at B96. I went to Q101 and News Radio 78, AM 1000. XRT, back to AM 1000, and then here to WMAQ. But it's like,
hey, you really picked a stable field.
I know, haven't I? But it's like a drug, you know. Once you get it in your system, it's awfully fun. I wanted you to sit down with us, Mike, because you have had an amazing career here at WMAQ. Mike, in case people don't know, is moving over to become news director of WBBM News Radio 78 tomorrow, being your first day on the job.
Yes.
That's going to be kind of strange.
It will be kind of strange. We've been fighting them for 12 years since I got here in 1988. And you know, I know a lot of the reporters because I was out there in the trenches with them. And, you know, we had a blast battling it out. I think it's going to be fun to go over there. I have a lot of respect for what they do and who they are. And they taught me how to do this.
Well, I think we can view this as victory. You know, I mean, if our commanding general is taking over there at the, you know, the enemy, the friendly adversary, then, you know, according to the rules of war, I think that means we won. Of course, you can visit me at my, spot on the breadline. No, I'm kidding. I think it is tremendous that you're going over there, and I think it's going to be very exciting. And you have witnessed the entire all news period right here at WMAQ.
I have. I've seen it evolve from what started out to be the very rat-tat-tat sort of delivery style. And we have gone to this, which I think has just been so wonderful.
It's been
what you guys do in here.
Thank you. I got a question for you.
Since
you were there at Group W, now finally we're going to get an answer to this.
Uh-oh, maybe not.
I don't know.
He looks a little scared.
I've been wanting to ask somebody this question on the air for 12 years. Give us 22 minutes, and we'll give you the world. And you had three anchors per hour.
Yes.
Does this mean that Group W invented the 66-minute hour?
No.
How did this work?
Is you could tune in anytime at all in the clock.
Hour.
And if you listen for 22 minutes, you are going to get the same thing.
Oh, you would get the whole package.
Yes, because it was because we were recycling things every 20 minutes, so the top story would repeat at the top at 20 and 40.
Okay.
So if you came in at 42 and stuck around for 22 minutes, you would get the whole deal.
Yeah, and that format, you know, came and went by the wayside. I'd like to talk more about this new format, and I would really like to see some other radio company take this up. I know then we'd be direct competition with your new station, Mike Krauser.
Yeah, you don't have a prayer.
Uh-huh, right. Anyway, I just would like to see it happen because I think it has so much potential, and we were only beginning to realize what kind of potential it did indeed have.
And we heard a lot of that from those listener calls. They said they liked us in a lot of cases because it was such a different thing. It was a very conversational. It is a very conversational delivery. We're still giving the hard facts of the news, and actually a lot more than you might get somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys might spend 4 minutes on a story, and, you know, that's a New York Times article right there.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's really been something.
It has been something, and it's been something that I think has evolved over the last couple of years into something that's been pretty incredible.
You have shepherded this newsroom through a very difficult time. How are you holding up?
I'm holding up just fine. I will be holding up better when I see all of you employed on the radio again, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've made it easy for me. All of you have made it easy for me because you have been here the whole time. You come in every day, and you don't have to, frankly. And I've said that to all of you. I know you don't have to come in. You could walk away right now and cut your losses, and it wouldn't really matter that much to you, but you've been also professional about everything, and because I know you love doing this. This is fun. This is radio. This is not work. This is a blast.
Right.
It's Mike Krauser, news director at WMAQ. Tomorrow, news director at WBBM AM, Radio 780, right up the dial. You can tune in there.
Thanks for everything you do.
Hey,
thank you, Michael.
WMAQ News Time, 11:36, and here's that conversation with Bob Roberts and Hugh Downs.
One of the most illustrious alumni of WMAQ Radio over the years is Hugh Downs, and Hugh is joining us on the telephone. Hugh, thanks for coming on the air with us today.
Happy to do so, Bob.
Let me ask you first, how did you get to WMAQ? How long did you work at the station, and what did you do?
I was in Detroit at WWJ when Pearl Harbor was hit, and when I came out of the Army, I came through Chicago and decided not to, because I made a connection with WMAQ at that time on the staff, the announcing staff, and Bill Kephart was the head of announcers then, and so I just went back very briefly to Detroit, and you know, in order to resign, and I got myself a better position being with the NBC Central Division there, and that's how I started.
Now, it sounds like it was a pretty big staff back then.
It was. I think there was a total of 11. Some of them hadn't come back yet from the war, so I was a couple times I was the low man on a totem pole, and by the time some of them got out of service, like Dave Garraway got out later, and a couple of others, and so I thought a couple times I thought I was going to have to leave because they couldn't maintain a bigger staff than they were allowed, but it worked out. I was there till 1954 is when I left to come to New York.
It sounds as if you had to be pretty versatile back in those days. Now, is that true, and how else did WMAQ prepare you for the rest of your career?
Well, there was kind of a versatility, but maybe not as much as I'd gotten in real small stations in Ohio, where it really was literally true that you did almost anything except sweep the place out, you know. And in fact, one time in an interview with a newspaper, I said, I've done everything there is to do in my end of my business except play-by-play sports. And as soon as I said it, I realized that wasn't true, because in 1939, I broadcast a boxing match, a blow-by-blow. And mercifully, no recording of that event exists, because it was probably pretty bad. But I have done everything, and you know, from commercial work to narration to disc jockey work. I was a teenage disc jockey back before that term was coined, but that's what I was, because I spun records and did commercials and talked in between.
So at WMAQ, though, you did a wide range of announcing.
Yeah, there was a lot. I did some commercial announcing. I did newscasting. I did narration for stuff. I was kind of a, I don't know what you call, a host for things like the Chicago Roundtable, which was one of the most prestigious programs out of there. That's where I met Robert Hutchins, who had been president. He was at that time president of the University of Chicago, later founded the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions in Santa Barbara, and I was a visiting fellow there in 1972, so that was a good contact. And you're right, we did a lot of different kinds of things there.
Now, that boxing match may not survive, but we do have a tape of a wonderful promotional program that you narrated in 1953 called WMAQ, But Why?
No kidding.
Yeah, we do. The tape makes it sound as if WMAQ was an incredibly exciting place to work back then. And what made it that way?
Well, it was. It was the best station in town. I know there was a CBS and Mutual at the time. Actually, there wasn't any ABC, because when I was there, when I started there, ABC didn't exist yet. It was the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company, and both on the 19th floor of the Merchandise Mart at that time. So it obviously was the best place in town to work. That was one of the things that made it exciting. And I think another thing, if I can use a personal name, one of the greatest men in broadcasting, I think, was Jules Herbivore, who headed that operation for a long time before I came there and for some time after I left. And Jules was very progressive in his thoughts and a very very honorable gentleman, and he did more for broadcasting than I think anybody that I know of. So I really enjoyed working under him. I don't know what other reasons there are. Chicago, of course, with its famous ability to innovate, which New York did not have. New York imitated a lot of things Chicago started, and that went on into television, too. So that was one of the reasons it was exciting to be there.
Now, you talk about television, and that began to emerge during your years here at WMAQ. Now, what effects did TV have on the operations of WMAQ Radio and NBC Chicago during your time here at the station?
Well, that's a good question. One of the things was that in any transition, you know, there was dire predictions when radio came in that it was going to kill newspapers, and of course it didn't. And then when television came in, it was going to kill radio, and of course it didn't. These things changed in format and so forth. But at the time of the beginning of the transition, I know there was some resentment, even on my part. I was making some extra money with commercial programs on radio at the time television came in, and they began to siphon off some of that advertising revenue to put into television, and I was beginning to lose money, and I hated television. I wished that it would go away. And so I finally decided I ought to dabble in it if I couldn't lick it. And I made that transition fairly gradually. But I never did abandon radio, because I would get homesick for radio. I did NBC's... was it Monitor? Do you remember Monitor, the program they had on then? And then on ABC for a long time, while I was still under contract to ABC, I did some radio commentaries. So that was, the transition occasioned some friction, but it gradually ironed itself out.
Now, you talked about meeting Robert Hutchins here at WMAQ a couple of moments ago. Many other great people have walked through the door, and a number of great broadcasters have worked at WMAQ. Who stands out in your mind? The people you spoke with here at WMAQ, the people you met and went on in broadcasting to greater heights?
Sure. Well, I remember people like Alex Dreyer, who I think we lost just recently, was there. I remember H.B. Kaltenborn being there, although that wasn't his home base, but I can remember his broadcasting from there. There were some illustrious guys on the announce staff, too, I thought, like Norman Barry, John Holtman, a newscaster that was really, really widely listened to. I'm trying to think of other people who were solidly in the Chicago area and went on in broadcasting. Right now, I'm not dredging them out of my mind at the moment, but there were.
That's okay.
You may know some that I not have in mind right now.
Well, there were a number, of course, who worked for literally decades at WMAQ. You know, Jack Eigen is one who comes to mind.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sure.
Jack Henry Eigen. Cook. You know, a lot of the people who were here, you know, throughout the 1950s, 1960s, and into the 1970s.
Yes.
And, of course, John Chancellor worked here a couple of years after.
Oh, yeah, sure. Chancellor worked in the newsroom at the time I was doing there. In fact, Chancellor he had a great sense of humor. And one time I was doing this was early on, I was doing a five-minute newscast that went to affiliates, not all of them, maybe not even major markets, but it was feeding the NBC, and it was kind of a big deal because since it was networked, that weighed heavily on me, and Chancellor prepared the copy for it in the newsroom. And one foggy day I came in and parked my car in front of the merchandise mart, and I get up there and I get this news copy ready, and while I'm in the middle of the newscast, Chancellor came in with a perfectly straight face and gave me a piece of copy. And I said, here's something just handed me. I said, the owner of a 1948 Packard is going to be surprised to find his battery dead when he goes out to the front of the merchandise mart. And I realized he had written this up about me leaving my lights on in front of the building. And it cracked me up that he would do that kind of thing that livened things up.
Local radio could be a lot of fun, but did you ever think back in 1953, 54, when things like that were happening, that you'd end up being at the top of the heap at the network?
Well, it really didn't occur to me. I thought, in fact, television was kind of difficult for me at the beginning because I hadn't established where I belonged. I didn't really belong. I never was show business, and I never was a field reporter. You know, I never had the background of a reporter, so my journalism really came from just a rapport with the audience, and then I was striving to be a link between the news material and the audience, and that began to unfold really after I started the Today Show. Incidentally, I succeeded John Chancellor, who did that for 1 year after Dave Garraway, and then I took that over in 1962, and I did it for a decade, and that was kind of the beginning of my fitting into television, and I realized as a generalist I probably belonged on a news magazine, really, where you could get in-depth into a variety of feature things.
One of the things that you have been engaged in the last couple of years has been writing and promoting, going across the country and performing this symphony. And it, music is something that goes back to your years at WMAQ. Explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, when I was on staff, there was a radio staff announcer had some free time in between things. You know, you weren't busy all the time. And one of the things I would do, because I just for my own amusement, an empty studio with a piano in it, I would noodle around for a while, and then I was writing things down. And finally got to a point where I'd written something for a large orchestra and orchestrated it myself and everything, and the NBC orchestra played it in 1948. That was later published and performed. But in 1991, on PBS, Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist, said to me, he really took me by surprise, he said, "I hear you write music. If you write something for cello, I'll play it." Well, I thought, whoa. And I couldn't let the challenge go, though, and it took about 8 years really to get that thing in shape, which he premiered with the St. Louis Symphony May the 3rd of this year. And I was very pleased that the critics liked it. I was afraid critics would drive me into the ground, but it went over very well, so that's the thing that I've been pleased with. And I mean, if I get a little spare time, I may try to do some more writing, because I've enjoyed that.
Now, this is something that may or may not take on the aspect of a new career for you then.
Yeah, I don't think of it as a career. I'm really not very prolific. When I think of Mozart, you know, who wrote 27 piano concertos and 11 operas and 41 symphonies, literally, and he died when he was 34, I'm kind of ashamed of myself at my output, you know, but I have been busy with other things.
Had you not come to WMAQ Radio, do you think you'd be where you are today?
No, and you know, it was funny, even though I came to WMAQ, there was a time for about a year and a half that I really thought I would have to leave, because there was one guy yet coming back from, he stayed in the military longer than anybody. When he came back, I would have been bumped, because they could only have 11 on staff. And I remember it was Jules Herbivore that kind of, I went out to audition to places like Wheeling and Cleveland and various places, and when I had a couple of offers, and I finally called Jules one night, and he said, "You don't want to go to those places." He said, you got a young family, and he said, "Well, hang in there, I'll see what I can do." And he just forced New York to accept an extra announcer there for a while, and until Charlie Lyon, who was another staff member, a very good guy, went to the coast to be with Ralph Edwards. And that opened it up, so I had a position on the staff. And that meant a lot to me that he saved me. And I don't know, if I had gone to one of those other places, what would I be doing now? I don't know. I'd probably be retired, but I probably wouldn't be as happy as I am now, having done some of the things I've been privileged to do.
And that's Hugh Downs. A very, very different time than today, of course, here at WMAQ. But, of course, one of the all-time greats and one of our alumni.